Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 8. Hear God's good word for us today. When Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples, suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and waves obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Even the wind and the waves. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of the disciples would have had the same common fear. You know how the kids are all afraid of thunder? They're kids. They're afraid of thunder. All of the disciples, the kids, all they're Jewish. So young and old, everybody who was Jewish had a common fear. And it wasn't the thunder. It was deep water. Did you know that? The Jewish people were terrified of deep water that they couldn't see the bottom of. It symbolized, in the Jewish culture, evil. Deep water was evil. It was chaos and darkness and death. It had hidden things they didn't even know. They called it Leviathan down there, and they avoided it. They avoided it. Have you ever wondered why they have just one word for ocean, bay, sea, lake, pond? They call everything sea, right? The Sea of Galilee. You're like, that's not a sea, it's a lake. They were Jewish. Anything that was big and a lot of water, they just said, "See, and let's not go there." Right? They were terrified, which is why there are so many examples in the Bible of God delivering the people, the Jewish people, from or through water. Okay, so think of the way we have creation described. To a people who feared water. That in the beginning, when there is nothing, what is there? Darkness and deep water. Right? That's the nothing. And the Spirit of God hovers over the deep waters and begins to call forth land and life and light, because the water is evil. And from that, God was able to make our world, right? Triumphing over the water. When you think about the great disaster in the early chapters of Genesis, it's no coincidence that it's a massive flood that covers everything up. The Jewish people, that is the root of their fears. But God preserves the life of the faithful in the ark that goes above the floodwaters, and the animals are preserved. And the rainbow is a symbol in the sky that that disaster will never happen again. Now, when you get to the great deliverance, right? The people are being delivered from slavery. And Egypt lets them go and then changes their mind. Well, the confrontation happens as the people are facing the Red Sea. Nobody said, "You know what? Let's build some boats." Oh, no. They're not going across that water. But there's an army. The largest, biggest, baddest army on earth is barreling down on them. They're going to be trapped in between what they fear the most in this army until God tears open the water and they walk through the heart of what they fear the most to the other side, and it swallows up the Egyptian army. Same thing when they come into the promised land, the Jordan is flooding. If you picture a river in flood, now try to imagine being a Jewish believer. And that is what, that deep water, that flooding water, is what's standing between you and God's promise in the promised land. Oh, they don't know what they're going to do. They're so terrified until God dries up the water and they walk through that muddy ground to the other side. Over and over in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, God is revealing power over deep water, because that is what the Jewish people were terrified of. The Jewish people are the only ancient people who had a coastline but no navy. The only people without a navy, because they're like, let somebody else deal with that. Not us. We don't like the deep water. It's evil. It's dark. It's chaotic. So imagine when Jesus says to the disciples, let's get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake. What? Jewish people didn't do that. And you say, oh, well, Pastor Laura, these are fishermen. They were, but they were Jewish fishermen. So if you study Jewish fishing practices, if they could fish from the shore and throw a net out, they did it. And sometimes they had to put out their boat, but they stayed as close to the shore as they could, right? Striking distance, it's right there. If I need to go back, I'll throw out my nets, and then I'm going to retreat back, whew, to the dry ground. They did not say, you know, it would be lovely to spend a day across the lake. Let's just get in the boat and go. They didn't do that. They were Jewish. And so when Jesus says, let's go across the lake to the other side, to the Gentile people, I mean the Gentile people, the least, right? The ones that the Jewish people don't associate with because they're unclean. Let's go over there. There was this ripple of fear that went down the disciples' backs. But I'm sure they took a big deep breath and said, but we're with Jesus, so it's going to be calm. That's what we all expect, right? If we're with Jesus, it's going to be calm. Only it wasn't. The Sea of Galilee, even to this day, because it's kind of in a depression, the wind can roll in like that, and a storm can come up that's really fierce. That's just the geography of that area. And the waves can get 20 feet high. Now, everyone, all the disciples knew that because they were most of them from that area. So they know these unexpected storms can come up, and that's what happened. That's what happened. They're out in the middle of the thing that terrifies them the most, right over the heart of that deep water, and one of those storms rolls up. And the wind is howling, and the waves are lashing, and this is a little fishing boat. This is a little fishing boat that's not huge, and it's rocking back and forth. Matthew, who's writing this account, describes it as a seismos. Do you hear that? It's seismic, right? That's where we get that word. It's a seismos. This is a turning upside down of the world. This is, everything becomes unsteady. This is the same word, seismos, that Matthew used to describe the earthquake that shook the ground when Jesus died. That was a seismos. This is a seismos. Right? It's that huge in their lives. I bet you've had a time like that. Most of us have. Where everything that we relied on, everything that held us solid is suddenly turned around, and we're in the teeth of a huge storm in our lives. And the disciples are beside themselves. They've done everything they can. The waves are crashing in. They're trying to get them out of the boat. They're trying to get to the other side. They're trying to get back to the shore, and they can't. And so they cry out to Jesus, and we translate it in English into this nice sentence, but in Greek it's three words. Lord, save dying. They just shout three words. Save dying, Lord. It's a cry for help. A cry that Jesus answers, and a cry that he will answer in our lives too. We don't have to have beautiful words, right? A lot of times we think if we could just pray as beautifully as Pastor John, then God would do, you know, what we're asking for. The disciples use three words that boil down to help. And they receive the help that they need, and we will too. So the first thing to remember that I see in this is that often when we get into a storm, whatever that is that we're facing in this life, and it's got us in its teeth, we often begin to ask ourselves, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Did I slip away from God? Did I make a mistake here? Is this what? But I want us to realize that here are the disciples with Jesus in the boat right there, going to do ministry to the least on the other side of the lake. They are right in the heart of God's will, and they encounter this storm, this deadly storm. And it's not because they're being unfaithful. They're being faithful. It's because the Sea of Galilee has unexpected storms that crop up. It's because in our life, unexpected storms crop up. And so the first thing that can reassure your heart when you're in the midst of the storm, if you find yourself saying, why is this happening to me? Did I do something? Remember the disciples in the boat. And know that you can be right next to Jesus and doing exactly what God wants, and you can still encounter storms. And know that he'll get you through. God will get you through. So the next thing we do is we look for Jesus. This is hard, because when you are in the teeth of a storm, that storm is howling and the wind is blowing and the water is choking you, and your eyes and your heart tend to focus on the storm. And when we do that, we'll find that our muscles are clenching and our heart is beating fast and our mind is racing, and we become more and more terrified. And we realize, like the disciples were, how powerless we are. We are often powerless with the storm, but there is someone in the boat who is not powerless, friends. And what we need to do when we find ourselves in a storm and we realize, I am looking at this storm and this storm is freaking me out, is we need to find where Jesus is and put our eyes on him. Now, the disciples do find Jesus. And what is Jesus doing? It's incredible, but he's asleep. He's asleep in this massive storm. And the disciples in the book of Mark say to him, do you not care? We're dying. Oftentimes we can feel that way too. We can say, don't you care? Maybe God doesn't care. I see something different. I see Jesus sleeping in this seismos as a model for what is possible in our own lives. That we could be so trusting of God and God's power, so secure in his love for us, that even in the teeth of the worst storm, we could sleep in peace. He's showing us what he can teach us to do. So the first thing we do is we've put our eyes on Jesus, and we will find as we do that, that he gives us that peace. Charlene at our church, many of y'all know Charlene, she's our business manager. And she shared with the church staff a couple of weeks ago how Jesus did this for her. She told us about her father's last year of life, that they found out he had a brain tumor. And they'd have to do surgery, but it was just such a difficult surgery. And because it involved his brain and his frontal lobe, they thought they'd have to remove pieces of his brain in this surgery. And they didn't know how dire the consequences would be. It was a horrible storm. So the whole family flies to be with her father and her mother. They're there in the surgery. While it's going on, they're waiting. And many of you know what it's like to wait during a surgery, right? We know how that is. And Charlene said her family, her brother, her daughter, everyone is just, they are so stressed. They are so anxious. They don't even know what to do. And she said, but in the midst of that, she had been praying about this, and Jesus had given her peace. And she said it just stayed with her. It just wrapped her up, peace. While this thing that is terrifying is happening, she has peace. She had so much peace that as the family is like, we need to go just get something to eat or something to drink, and they walk down to the cafeteria, the family took her aside and said, look, we don't think you understand how bad this is, because you should be more scared. And she said, I do understand. I see the storm, right? But I see Jesus right here with us. And I don't know how it's going to be okay, but Jesus has told me it will be okay. And she said, they kind of said, well, whatever, you just don't understand. And she said, I'm just going to hold on to that peace. I'm not going to let anything in this storm steal it from me. And when her father came out, she said the doctors were amazed. The doctor said, we took so much, we thought there would be, you know, some kind of damage or some kind of loss, and there wasn't. And she said that peace that Jesus gave her during the surgery was with her the entire last year of her father's life. And that she and then eventually her family got to see that God had given them a gift, that they had that year, They had that year with him that they weren't supposed to have. And she said, even when he died, even though her heart is grieving, that peace has stayed with her and helped her and sustained her. So whatever storm you are facing, whenever you find yourself getting so afraid as you look at it, take a deep breath and find Jesus and ask him, Lord, I'm so scared. Help me to keep my eyes on you. You will be transformed when you keep your eyes on Jesus in the storm. The next thing you do once you've refocused your eyes to Jesus is to remember his power. When we are in storms, we realize how powerless we human beings are. Right? We just feel so, it's terrible. We feel out of control. We feel powerless. God is not powerless. And what happened to the disciples is what happens to us. They're in this storm. They're staring at the storm. And it's overwhelming them. They're realizing they cannot beat it back. They cannot save their lives. And they forget, temporarily, the one who's in the boat with them. Now, what have they seen Jesus do? Well, if you just look a few chapters back, the disciples have seen Jesus feed thousands with a lunch. They've seen him touch a leper and heal him. They've seen a Roman official come to Jesus and ask for help with a beloved servant, and Jesus speaks one word, and across town the man is well. They've seen Jesus encounter people who are possessed by demons and with a word send those demons scattering and set those people free. They've seen God's power. But as they're looking at the storm, they forget the power of God and they only see the power of the storm until they begin to look at Jesus and they cry out and they use the best word they can, Lord, right? Lord, that's who God is, save, dying. So when we find ourselves in a storm, one of the things we can do today to help our future selves is to recall God's power. So what I want you to do, this is your homework for the day, is to go home and write down on a piece of paper or get out your phone all of the things that God has done in your life. All the miracles, all the answered prayers, the things that God called you to do when you were so scared but you did it, and who you are now. Write down the change that's come upon your life. Write down the stories of friends like Charlene. Write down about Melody Martinez. How many times has she fought and overcome cancer? Write down about Neil. Write down about Dina. Write down anyone who inspires you. Stories from the church family. Write down about Jesse and Edgar. John's daughter who had that pregnancy, we were all praying for her because the doctor said the babies were in danger, and they're here with us, and we baptized them. Write those stories down. And if you live with somebody, gather them up and say, help me with this. We're writing our list of God's power. Get your kids, get your grandkids. Whoever it is, make that list for yourself. And then when the next storm strikes and you find yourself so afraid, and you say, Jesus, I need to focus on you. Then get out that list and read through all of the power of God that has seen you through your life. And then I want you to write whatever storm it is at the bottom, whatever it is you're facing, because you know that the God who has seen you through to this point will continue to see you through. The advice that our Lord gave more than anything else to us as people is this: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And it's Jesus that makes that possible because he is with us. And so allow his love like a magnet to pass over your heart and pull out every shard of fear that has been tormenting you. And replace it with great calm. Because that's what happened. Jesus stood and he commanded the wind and he commanded the waves and they listened and obeyed. And there was a great calm where there had been a seismos. And so it is in our lives too. We just put our eyes on him. We remember his power. And we trust him. We trust him. And so we're not afraid. Let's pray. Jesus, you know that we all of us face things that are more than we can handle on our own or bear on our own. And just like the disciples in the boat, we can feel like we are going to drown, going to die. Help us to remember you. Help us to put our eyes and our hearts on you. Help us to remember that you love us, that you command the wind and the waves, whatever it is that terrifies us most, that you are with us calming the storms, and when they're not calm, you are with us through the storms. Thank you. Thank you for taking away our fear. Help us as we are afraid, and continue to give us your peace and that great calm, that it may spread throughout our lives. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.